case of the day, RWB Services versus Hartford Computer. Ms. Rockovich.
May it please the Court, good morning, Your Honor. Michelle Rockovich, plaintiff appellant, RWB Services. If facts are ever sufficient to confer RICO standing, RWB's facts are sufficient. If facts are ever sufficient to effectuate the remedial purpose of protecting the businesses such as RWB, RWB's facts are sufficient. At issue is defendants' massive fraudulent scheme, and each action the defendants took intentionally to perpetuate and further the fraudulent scheme is part of the scheme. It includes their actions in fraudulently obtaining Sequel cameras, underpaying for the old ARC's assets to fraudulently obtain hundreds of thousands of cameras, stealing RWB's cameras, and even today failing to book returns so that they're hiding evidence of what's coming in and what's going out. It includes repackaging cameras and selling them as new. And contrary to what defendants would have you believe, they're not simply new cameras that are being returned and coming through the door that they're reselling.
Isn't the issue, counsel, the nonpayment of the contract, under the contract?
There's no contract involved, Your Honor. Contrary to what the district court assumed and put in its decision, RWB does not seek damages for a contract or for a loan made to defendants. RWB did not make a loan to defendants. The loan was to Old Argus, and there's no contract involved in this dispute. Defendants illegally violated the collection agreement that excluded RWB receivables, RWB invoices that are specifically listed in the collection agreement, and directed Walmart to pay Hartford, one of the defendants, on RWB invoices that are specifically excluded from the collection agreement. The district court ignored the collection agreement. We argue that but for a defendant's fraudulent scheme, RWB would have been paid. The fraudulent scheme not only included all of the activities before in obtaining fraudulent cameras, repackaging them as new, and repackaging them as new includes examining the cameras, erasing the images, wiping them clean, and repackaging them. They're even doing a better job now. Once it was drawn to their attention after testimony from their own former employee that you could easily tell the difference between a repackaged camera and a new camera, he brought them in before the court and said that the crimping is uneven on a repackaged camera. And after
I'd like to get back. I think you said it. The fact is that they haven't paid you, and that's the issue, right?
The fact is they haven't paid us, and they haven't paid us because they stole RWB cameras as part of their fraudulent scheme. They then repackaged them and resold them as part of their fraudulent scheme, and then for at least 3 years attempted to hide the evidence of what they're doing. They were sanctioned for hiding evidence. I filed the lawsuit in the year 2004, and for 2 years I attempted to get documents. Document requests to produce, interrogatories, and in January of 2006, they said, we've produced all the relevant documents, we've answered all your questions truthfully. We didn't get one document showing that they'd stolen RWB cameras and packaged them as new, and we didn't get one document demonstrating their fraudulent scheme.
Well, given the fact, I mean, we'll hear from the other side about their conduct, but isn't the fact that they owe you money a contractual relationship?
It's not a contractual relationship with us. They had no contractual relationship. But for their scheme and their direct intervention, RWB would have been paid. RWB's contract is with Old Argus, and there was a funding arrangement. RWB was paid in full on the first round of funding. The district court ignores this. RWP did everything possible to ensure it would be paid on the second round of funding. It entered a funding agreement that the district court ignores that directed Walmart to pay to into an account as it had done when it was paid in full. The district court ignores this. The district court ignores the collection agreement. But for the fraudulent scheme, but for the stealing of the cameras, Walmart would have paid RWB. Walmart wouldn't have paid defendants until defendants entered the picture, violated the collection agreement, and directed Walmart to pay on RWB invoices directly to defendants instead of to RWB. Let's look at what was happening that summer. They bought the old artists' assets for $1.2 million less than the contract price and thereby obtained hundreds of thousands of used cameras for free that they then repackaged and sold as new. The model cameras that are at issue are model 1510 cameras. Model 1510 cameras were made only for old Argus. They were never made for anyone else. During the summer of 2003, the plant was on strike. Walmart was issuing hundreds of thousands of orders for new model 1510 cameras. Defendants couldn't meet the orders because the plant wasn't manufacturing them. So what did they do? They took used cameras, wiped the images off if there were images on them, wiped them down with a household cleaner. They didn't sterilize them. They repackaged them. They sent them out and sold them as new. RWB cameras are model 1510 cameras. They had to meet the Walmart orders, and they couldn't meet them. They were frantically trying to get new model 1510 cameras, and by November, they were able to contract for a similar model from a different manufacturer, but these were model 1512 cameras. They sold more than 300,000, and this is by testimony of their own CFO, more than 300,000 model 1510 cameras during the relevant time period, July 15, 2003, when they bought the assets, to October 30th, when Walmart, by defendant's direction, paid Hartford instead of RWB on RWB's invoices that are specifically excluded from the collection agreement. Is there proximate cause? The Supreme Court in 1992 in Holmes versus Security Investment Protection Corporation set the requirements to demonstrate proximate cause. And this court just last year in Phoenix Bonin and Indemnity versus Bridget reiterated those standards. The courts said you look at policy factors. You ask specific questions to determine if there's proximate cause. Are there clear damages? RWB's damages couldn't be clearer. Contrary to what the district court says, it's not a contract claim. We have no contract with the defendants, and we're not seeking to recover the loan we made to defendants. There's no loan to defendants. We're seeking the Walmart payment that defendants illegally directed Walmart to make to them instead of to RWB. The damages are $234,067. That's what Walmart paid on RWB invoices totaling that amount. Yes, we asked for disgorgement of the profits, and we asked for interest, but those are our damage. RWB funded the cameras at $7 apiece. During that summer, the relevant time period, they sold model 1510 cameras for between $14 and $21 apiece. $7 from that is there's $7, between $7 and $14 left over from the damage claims. The court says to look at is there a risk of multiple recoveries? Who could recover? Is there a better enforcer? The district court found that Walmart would be a better enforcer. Well, Walmart doesn't have any damages. They either sold the cameras or they returned the cameras. They are not only not a better enforcer, they can't be an enforcer. The end consumer is a proper plaintiff and an enforcer, but it's an enforcer of their damages, and their damages are the difference between the price of a new camera and a used camera. What are those damages? Between $5 and $7. Their damages don't conflict with RWB's damages. The reason for asking this question is to ensure that if a party with a different or a better claim is not left standing holding the bag. In this case, RWB's claim is for $7 per camera. The end consumer's damage would be between $5 and $7 a camera.
Could you describe the scheme that you've alleged?
The scheme, as I've alleged, is that it includes all of their intentional actions in furthering the scheme. And the scheme includes obtaining cameras by fraud, used cameras by fraud, repackaging the used cameras, selling them as new, and the other actions include hiding evidence of what they've done in order to be able to perpetuate their fraud ad infinitum.
How did they obtain the cameras?
The first cameras that began in 2003, the contract to buy Old Argus, which was a prepackaged deal initiated by Bank One, had them purchasing Old Argus assets for $2.5 million. They fraudulently claimed that the assets were overvalued. They didn't notify other interested buyers. The trustee didn't. They underpaid by $1.2 million, and they received $1.2 million worth of used cameras for free. They fraudulently.
When you say used cameras, who were these cameras being used by?
They were returned cameras from companies like Walmart, who had returned them to Old Argus and were sitting in what are called Gaylords or bins.
Were they replaced? I mean, they turned them in and got new cameras. Is that what happened?
Well, Walmart or whatever turned them in for credits, and then these cameras were sitting there, and Walmart issued new orders for new cameras, and defendants couldn't meet the orders for new cameras, and so they refurbished and then repackaged the cameras.
And you call them RWB cameras because RWB financed the
RWB purchase of those? Financed 33,468 of the 300,000 cameras that were sold during that time period.
And so RWB's interest arises out of the loan it made.
Made to the Old Argus. It did everything proper. It filed its UCC papers properly. It had a secured interest in it.
Why were these cameras returned from places like Walmart or whatever?
Normal course of business. Customers bring them in.
Turning them over.
Yes.
Were they sold off the shelf and then returned, or are these just returned?
Most of them were sold off the shelf. They would like you to believe that they're returned cameras that were still in their clamps. That's not the case. Defendants went out and bought a new clamper and then took the used cameras and reclammed them. That's what Jerry Ortiz testified at the preliminary injunction hearing. If you go to the store, you could tell the difference between the used camera and the new camera because of the way...
By the packaging?
By the packaging.
But was the actual camera recycled was it used in the sense of a consumer taking and operating?
Oftentimes it was. They erased the image if it was a digital camera. 1510 models are digital. They erased the image, wiped it down, didn't sterilize it, repackaged it, and sold it as new. Defendant's main argument is that RWB damages are avoidable because they could have paid RWB. In the same sense, if that's true, the end consumer's damage are avoidable because defendants could have not repackaged the cameras and not resold them. Their argument is really curious in the context of a civil claim or overall civil jurisdiction. It's even more bizarre in a criminal jurisdiction. Not guilty, Your Honor, but you committed the crime. Yes, Your Honor, but I could have done something else. This shows how ridiculous it is to argue what you could have done. The fact is, what is important is what they actually did.
I just want to remind you about your rebuttal time.
Okay.
You're into it. You can use it, but you don't want to lose it either.
I don't want to lose it. I'll come back, Your Honor, and complete my arguments. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rose?
Thank you. May it please the Court? Judge, we seem to have gotten somewhat far afield, I think, from the issue that's actually before the court today. Counsel's going into a lot of the facts or alleged facts concerning the merits of the case. All of that is now back down in the state court, and I'm sure will be addressed by Judge McDonald down there. At this point, the only issue before the court is whether or not the district court properly dismissed one count of a 10-count complaint that alleged or tried to allege a RICO claim. And the basis for the dismissal was simply that, as counsel had defined the RICO scheme in the complaint, there were no damages flowing from that to RWB. This is not to say that they have not alleged damages, but they're just not damages proximately resulting from anything to do with the alleged scheme. The scheme is, as defined in the complaint, and I have to say the scheme, in quotes, has been something of a moving target because every time we get into it, it seems to have a new definition. But at least as alleged on paper in the complaint, the scheme consisted of taking these return cameras, repackaging them, selling them to Walmart, who ultimately sold them to the consumers as new when, according to counsel, they should have been classified as used cameras. Counsel admits, or RWB admits in its brief, I believe on page 8, that in fact, and counsel stated it up here a moment ago, that the consumers, assuming all the facts are correct, as we must in this context with a motion to dismiss, that the consumers paid an excessive price for the cameras. If the object of the RICO scheme is to sell these used cameras as new, then clearly the direct injury is felt by the consumer who bought the cameras. There is no allegation that RWB ever bought any of these cameras. Their only damage alleged in here, as has been pointed out by the court, is the fact that they were not repaid in some fashion for the monies that they had advanced originally for the purchase of the cameras before they began being returned.
Doesn't the complaint allege a fraud in the acquisition of the cameras, though, in getting those without paying RWB?
That happened afterwards. The way it was supposed to work was the cameras were financed, they were sold, RWB was then supposed to be reimbursed by the proceeds of the sale, or if the cameras were returned, arguably they were to receive back the cameras. The allegation of the complaint is that the return cameras were repackaged and resold, and the money was deposited into a different account being controlled by the Hartford defendants. But that is one, if I can say isolated, one isolated incident in terms of what counsel is alleging is a RICO scheme. The scheme is the repackaging and reselling. That's the activity, and we've pointed it out, I believe it's paragraphs 180 to 258, something like that in the complaint. It's a rather lengthy complaint. The scheme that's described as using the mails, using the wires, and so on, using the banks, that all involves the transfer back by Walmart of the cameras, the packaging, and the reselling, and the financial transactions between Walmart and the Hartford defendants. It doesn't really involve RWB. RWB is simply saying, well, we lent the money. Everything was supposed to come back to us, either in kind with the cameras or cash if it was by payment.
Isn't there a fraud alleged about the acquisition of the old Argus assets?
That's alleged, Judge, but this was all being done by a receiver who was monitoring this thing. I mean, there's a claim that there's a fraud, but again, that's separate and apart from what's alleged to be the fraudulent RICO scheme, the predicate acts. The predicate acts under the RICO claim all involve the repackaging and reselling of the cameras.
But if you don't get the old Argus assets, you don't have the cameras to repackage.
The old Argus assets, as I understand it, included both already returned cameras as well as new cameras that were ready to be sold. So they were buying the assets, but they were not buying the assets from RWB. There were other bidders. Old Argus was a company that was going under, and there was an assignment for the benefit of creditors. So the purchase was done in that context. There were some discussions about the purchase price, so on. Again, that is outside, although that provides background for the RICO count, that is not what is alleged to be the RICO scheme in the complaint itself. That's simply a precursor to what is supposed to be the RICO scheme. I mean, there are many allegations of fraudulent acts, but in terms of what would one normally think of as a RICO claim, a RICO pattern, there is no pattern. There's no set pattern. Supposedly,
not the basis of the judge's decision, though.
It is not. I'm sorry?
The lack of a pattern is not the basis of the judge's decision.
It is not. It's the lack of damages flowing from the RICO scheme. And the point that I was trying to make was that in terms of the acquisition of old Argus assets themselves, whether or not that was fraudulent or not, again, is not an issue that I think RWB has standing to get into because, as far as I'm aware, it was not bidding on any of the assets. There are other bidders out there. So, again, they wouldn't have standing to bring that in any event. That was one incident. They are claiming that they were deprived of repayment, as the court has noted. Whether or not that constitutes fraud or not, again, I think it will be decided by Judge McDonald. Those are all the other counts. But the consistent description in the complaint of the predicate acts and the RICO claim, all the way through the complaint, all the way through count 10, all have to do with their repackaging and reselling. This is the one situation where there are multiple allegedly consistently identical actions that one would be looking for in a RICO case to establish some kind of a RICO pattern. So whatever damages RWB is claiming flows from the fact that they were not reimbursed for that original funding just prior to the acquisition of Old Argus. The damages do not flow from anything to do with the resale of the cameras, per se. And that's why the district court, we think, got it exactly right, that there is no proximate causation between the RICO scheme as alleged and the damages that are being claimed by RWB. Maybe to put it in a slightly different context, that we both used analogies, if I can use one more that may sort of illustrate this point. If we can borrow a fact situation from about 30 years ago or so, but keep the current names of the parties, if one were to presume that the Hartford defendants were automobile manufacturers, and unfortunately they had a vehicle out there that had literally a fatal design flaw in it, which is during a rear-end collision, a gas tank would explode. RWB is a steel manufacturer providing raw materials for the construction of the car. I don't think anyone would take seriously a claim that if RWB were not paid for a shipment of steel that was used to manufacture the cars, they would then also have a claim that based on wrongful death, personal injury, property damage, or something due to the design flaw, some kind of products liability claim, because they simply provided the material that went into the automobile that enabled those things to happen. As I understand RWB's claim, that's essentially what they're saying. Without our cameras, there could have been no fraudulent scheme. Well, we've shown in the brief that those numbers don't add up. Even within the short period of time of about 6 months in 2003, the allegation is that over 300,000 cameras were resold. Out of those, RWB has said about 33,400, something like that, were RWB cameras, roughly 11%. So obviously, the RWB cameras were not intrinsic nor overly vital to what they're claiming is this fraudulent reselling scheme. While they may have made some contribution to it overall, it was a relatively small contribution. But once again, the damages don't flow from that. Simply providing a basis for somebody to engage in some kind of RICO activity does not automatically entitle that person who is not injured by the RICO activity itself to damages. That's essentially the holding of the Evans case, that the Evans case issued by this court made very clear that incidental injury caused by a RICO enterprise or a RICO actor to some other individual that doesn't result from the RICO conduct is not compensable in RICO. That was really the only issue before the district court, and the district court found that there was no RICO injury. As a result, it dismissed the case for lack of standing under Section 12b1, Rule 12b1, rather. As a result of that, as I said, we believe the district court got it exactly right. We would ask that the court's dismissal be affirmed. If the court has no further questions, I see my light is on.
Well, you have some time, but there's no constitutional mandate you use it. So if you have nothing more, Mr. Rose, we'll accept your argument.
I think I've made my point, Your Honor, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rose. Ms. Rakowicz?
Your Honors, to summarize defense counsel's arguments, they claim that RWB is not a direct victim of the RICO scheme. That's the bottom line. The district court found RWB was remotely injured and therefore doesn't recover under RICO. Let's look at who would be a remotely injured party under the relevant case law. Anza versus Ideal Steel Supply Company, Evans that they cite, and Holmes. A competitor of defendants, such as Olympus Camera. Olympus Camera sells model cameras similar to defendants' cameras. Their market share is drastically reduced because they're flooding the market with used cameras that they're repackaging and selling as new. Under Anza, under Holmes, under Evans, Olympus Camera is although injured in fact by the RICO scheme, is a remotely injured party and is not recoverable. In the same sense as their Ford supposition claim here, or representation. In contrast, defendants took deliberate steps. They intentionally stole RWB cameras. They had no reason to steal the cameras other than the scheme. It's immaterial whether it's only 11% of the 300,000. RWB was hurt by the scheme because of their intentional actions. RWB is the proper plaintiff. Why RICO? This isn't a contract claim. It's not simply garden variety fraud. It's not a business tort. It's a massive fraudulent scheme. And part of that scheme, they stole our cameras, they repackaged them, and they sold them as new. They needed the cameras that summer, so they stole the cameras. They violated the collection agreement. RWB is a direct victim under all the relevant case law.
Counsel, you used the term they stole them. How did they steal them from them?
They violated the collection agreement that specifically excluded RWB cameras. It listed them. They directed Walmart in violation of the collection agreement.
You may finish your response.
They agreed to the exclusion before they signed it, and when they needed the cameras, they directed Walmart to pay Hartford on RWB invoices that were excluded. When RWB found out about it, it was tracking the payments. RWB went to them and said, give us the Walmart payment. They said no, investigated how we found out, and changed the passwords. Their own CFO said, pay RWB. Their own CFO developed spreadsheets that said how much you're supposed to pay RWB. You know what they did to their CFO? They barred him from participating in any future discussions. And guess what? The spreadsheets have disappeared. Two court-appointed forensic specialists can't find the spreadsheets. They destroyed evidence. That's all part of their fraudulent scheme. Stealing the cameras was part of their schemes. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court